Okay, part two of this week's Mental Health Monday podcast. Apologies for the slight delay in being able to get this story to you, but there were certain embargoes around it, and it focuses around something that's happening in the Houses of Parliament on Tuesday, the 23rd of March, when this podcast goes live. Now, we know that mental health has very much been massively impacted by lockdown and the pandemic. An estimated 1.9 million workers reported mental health-related absence in 2020. £14 billion was spent on mental health, learning disability and dementia services during the pandemic. 1.2 million people have been in contact with mental health services in the last year. But there is so much more to do in regard to this. And I'm pleased to say, going through Parliament today is a 10-minute motion from the MP, Dean Russell. Now, Dean represents Watford. He's also the vice chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Mental Health. And Dean is going to be raising the issues that we brought up more than a year ago through our Where's Your Head At campaign. Now, 200,000 people plus signed a petition calling for mental health first aid to be available in all workplaces and colleges. And we want that to be law. And many, many hundreds of thousands of people want that to be law as well. Now, Dean is going to take the first steps today to introduce that to the Houses of Parliament. So ahead of the 10-minute rule bill being introduced later on, I spoke to Dean to find out why he was so passionate about the subject, to find out how this could be introduced into law, the difference it would make, and how Where's Your Head At has played a huge part in getting it to this stage.
Absolutely. And you know, you should be proud of the work that you've done. I think, you know, mental health has been a passion of mine for many, many years. And as the years have gone by, especially over the past 12 months, it's really been obvious how important mental health is to us all and how prominent it is. And I think campaigns like and the work that you've done with Where's Your Head At is really made a difference, because it gets people talking. It does the right thing in terms of getting people involved. And I'm really proud to be able to say that in Parliament, I'm trying to change the law, really, to make it so that mental health in the workplace is on a parity with physical health through workplace first aid.
What is it that really ignites your passion around mental health and wanting to bring about a change in the law?
Well, I think, you know, it's been something I've been involved in for many, many years. You know, I've seen friends through the years suffer with mental ill health, but also, you know, just around mental well-being. And what I've seen through working with various charities and community work with individuals I've known is actually when you look after your mental well-being, actually it makes a massive difference to your life. You can be the best version of you. You can, you know, help others. And I have a phrase that I've used in Parliament actually as well, is that HOPE is an acronym, and it stands for H-O-P-E, help one person every day. H-O-P-E, help one person every day. And I think actually the ability to help others through words and not necessarily just through actions is a really powerful thing to do.
So much about the mental health journey that people go on is about sort of the human responses that they have along the way. But actually bringing about a change in the law involving Parliament in this represents the fact that actually there are physical things that need to change, that can be changed, that will change people's journeys as well. And I guess that's where someone like yourself can come into this journey.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for me, there's been so much done again, over the past 12 months. I mean, I think something like £14 billion has been spent on mental health, learning disabilities, dementia and so on. And there's been a lot of initiatives around this. But for me, one of the challenges I see is that as people start to come out of lockdown, start to return to the workplace, because many have been working from home, I think the need to be more aware of mental well-being is going to be absolutely critical. And as you'll know, over many years, we're used to having a first aider on site in workplaces. You know, so if you have a cut or fall over or worse, you know, and need CPR, for example, then that person's there and is a first port of call to go to. And I think as we move into a new era, really, in the workplace, we're going to have to also take into account mental health. And I think having a mental health first aider, not a counsellor, it's not somebody who does the job of a psychotherapist, for example, but somebody who can signpost someone or also help them spot the signs to get them early help and early support is going to be really important.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people, particularly the hundreds of thousands of people who've signed our petition, agree that this is absolutely crucial within those sorts of environments. You know, and there are some incredible stats around this. I always pick out the example that people who work on building sites are some of the most at risk in terms of potentially having suicidal thoughts. And yet not one single person would walk on that building site without the correct boots, without the correct helmet, without the correct high-vis jacket. And yet there is a different risk that maybe isn't dealt with, that isn't looked at, but could be dealt with if things change.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, this is a small part of a much wider societal conversation. You know, I spoke on International Men's Day a few months ago about male suicide, just as an example. And the figures are shocking in terms of you know, how many suicides happen every year, but also just the fact that I think a lot of people don't want to talk. And my take is it's not a weakness to ask for help. It's not a weakness to tell people how you're feeling. It's actually a strength. And actually, if we can encourage that more in the workplace and in wider communities, that's got to make a difference. And when we look at, you know, the workplace in terms of statistics, you know, some of the stats I was looking at, I think something like 1.2 million people are in contact with mental health services during COVID, you know, and, you know, an estimated 1.9 million workers reported mental health related absence in 2020. It's a huge number. And actually, so this isn't just a nice to have. I think it's a really important thing that we do through legislation, but also just to encourage all businesses to take this on board.
And in terms of that, you talk about the timescale, our petition was brought about in a pre-COVID world. Do you think that actually now more than ever, the things that we were calling for as part of the Where's Your Head At campaign are absolutely necessary in how we move forward in a post-COVID world?
Absolutely. And I think often, you know, timing is everything. And so when you brought that petition together in an incredible way, I mean, the numbers you got to sign it were astounding. And the pressure you put on in terms of conversation has been so important. But actually, as we look forward, I think COVID has really highlighted the importance of mental health. You know, another area for me that I've been passionate about is loneliness as well. And, you know, I have a phrase in Watford that I want it to be a place where loneliness has no place to hide. And I think that should be the case everywhere. But, you know, the challenge during COVID is a lot of people have been hiding in a way at home. They've been behind a screen, but perhaps not necessarily sharing their full selves. And I think the opportunity now, timing wise, is actually we're aware more of mental health than ever. And let's look forward and see how we can help people really in a way that perhaps a year ago or 2 years ago perhaps wasn't seen as quite so essential, whereas now it absolutely is.
Sometimes people presume that having a mental health infrastructure within a workplace or a school, college, university environment comes with costs. But I guess you'll be aware of the benefits that come from that. And as, you know, workplaces reopen their doors and people find a new way of working as we move into this sort of post-COVID era, there's actually huge benefits that come from being mentally health aware. And those who are concerned about the cost, probably when they look into it, will probably find that when you look at productivity levels, staff absences, there's a very strong chance that actually this improves your business outlook because it takes away some of those things you maybe didn't know about that you weren't aware of.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's an economic argument here, a productivity argument. I mean, with the stats I mentioned earlier, you know, if you take that 1.9 million workers reported mental health related absence in 2020, that's a lot of workers. That's a lot of time off. That's a lot of people who perhaps with the right support and help would have been able to be at work and also in an environment that helps them thrive. And I think, you know, when we look at infrastructure, you know, this isn't about sending everybody to month-long retreats. This is about enabling them to identify the signs, to enable them to get early help as well. And actually, when you look at even things like PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, the disorder bit comes after the first bit hasn't been treated. So you get PTS first, and then you get the disorder over a period of time. So early warning signs, early help, early signposting really makes a difference. But also, I think for a society, you know, my take is that in the 20th century, we really learned loads about our physical health. I think the 21st century is going to be defined over the coming decades on how we treat our mental health. And I think that's going to be absolutely essential as we look towards the coming years, but also decades, really.
there's a real grassroots movement around mental health, and I'm sure that you'll have experienced that in terms of the conversations you've had, conversations with your own constituents, and just the sheer weight of support that we've had through our campaign. But it takes people like yourself to take it to the next level. And as we pass on the baton, just explain the motion that you'll be able to put forward through Parliament and how that might instigate some change within the corridors of power.
Yes, so there's several parts to it. The reason for doing it is, A, because I'm passionate about mental health, but also, you know, in Watford, one of my pledges when I got elected was to train 1,000 mental health first aiders across Watford. And I've partnered with the local Chamber of Commerce, and we're doing it. The Prime Minister even came to Watford to launch it for me. You know, so it's been something I've been really working hard on. And what I've realised during that time is that actually there's a need for more. You know, especially nationally, I've had great colleagues copy the same model I'm using here. And so the bill effectively is an opportunity for me to stand for 10 minutes in Parliament to lobby for this bill, to get support for it. I'm hopeful there won't even be a division, as they call it, a vote on it. Hopefully it will just pass through to the next round. And it's a great platform to be able to push for this change. But the opportunity to do this in Parliament through what's called a 10-minute rule bill means hopefully not just can we change the law, but hopefully anyone who listens, including to your fantastic show now, the more people that are aware of this, perhaps businesses might not wait for the law to change and actually just do it. And I think that's my goal, really, is for everybody to do it, not feel like they're forced to. But if that comes to it through law, then so be it.
And for businesses who are further education establishments who are sort of a little bit unsure about this one, we did the world's first mental health training session live on the radio, and absolutely fascinating. And the main feedback we got from it was that people didn't realise how simple it was, that we weren't training people for brain surgery, we weren't trying to give people a degree or a diploma in psychotherapy. These were simple tools, signposting, resources that were available that people could then look at themselves and then make a judgment about the right way forward, whether it would be taking up a physical activity, maybe a conversation with a GP, maybe it would be medication, maybe there'd be another intervention from a different service. But actually having that knowledge and having that education means that when you get to a situation where you think I might need some help, or one of my colleagues may need some support, you know where to turn. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if you stepped into a college on the first day or a workplace on the first day and said, this is where to go if you cut your finger, this is where you go if you need to speak to someone about payroll, this is where you go if you need to speak to someone about your mental health. And to me, that doesn't feel like it's that far away or that difficult. It's very achievable.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's my point, really. I've seen through the people who've been trained as trainers for the mental health first aid scheme that I've been doing in Watford with the Chamber of Commerce, and funded actually by Camelot, who've been amazing, that actually people enjoy taking the course, they enjoy being trained, but also it opens up their eyes to things that people might say that they may not have realised actually was a not so much a warning sign, but more just something actually perhaps they could, you know, perhaps it might be useful to say, look, have you thought about this? And for me, it's not necessarily even just often when people think, for example, about workplaces, they often think about offices. But actually, for me, I really want to have barbers and baristas, you know, pub landlords through to, you know, people working in shops having done this, because actually they're all workplaces, but they're also places where, especially as we come out of lockdown, we will have lots of people wanting to talk and chat. And even if you just take barbers and hairdressers as one example, the amount that I've spoken to over the past few months who've said actually they've had people crying in their chairs who've been going through difficult times. And that, you know, some have said to me that they're part haircuts, part counselling. And I think actually arming those people and people in workplaces to know what to say and what to do actually is going to help them as well as help the person who they might be providing advice or signposting to.
And of course, you get the opportunity to stand up in Parliament and to sort of sing the praises of this wonderful sort of opportunity that lays in front of us. But how important is it, do you think, that the likes of the Where's Your Head At campaign have sort of really championed this? Because the ways at which the Bauer Media Group have been able to interact with different audiences has almost made this a bespoke sort of campaign and really sort of got to the heart of people very much within their lives, in the magazines that they read, on the TV shows that they watch, and on the radio stations that they listen to.
Oh, it's absolutely critical. I really applaud all the work that you've done. You know, for me, this has been something that, you know, when I was looking to try and become an MP, people often say, what's that one thing you'd like to change? And I usually had a list of 10 or 20, but always at the top was about changing stigma around mental health. And how do we get people to talk more? You know, how do we get people to support each other more? And, you know, and it's a phrase that's probably overused about being kind, but actually be kind to each other. And that kindness isn't always just about platitudes. It's actually sometimes about giving the right advice and guidance. So I think the work you've done through the petition is has opened up the conversation, because you've got some amazing, you know, amazing titles, and you've got such an amazing presence on radio and in magazines and throughout the media, that actually people who may not realise that they're perhaps struggling are probably more aware of it because of your campaign. And I think, you know, for me, people like politicians, you know, chief executives, people in positions of, I suppose, what might be perceived as positions of power, actually, the more we talk about it too, I think that breaks down those barriers in a different way. Because my take is that if me as a member of parliament can stand up in the chamber and in the House of Commons and talk about mental health in a way that it's normal to have to talk about it and it's normal to look after mental well-being, then actually there's no excuse, I don't think, for anybody else in a senior position in any organisation to say, well, you know, it's not my thing, because it's all of our thing. We all have times where we might be grieving, where we might be having challenges at work, at home. We all at some point will have some form of issue around mental well-being. And in some cases, that might turn into an issue around mental health. Surely it's upon us all to make sure that we help each other through that.
Thank you for your time today, Dean. We wish you all the best in terms of the motion, and welcome once again to the Where's Your Head At team. And I'm sure we'll speak again very soon.
Thank you very much. And I've really a pleasure and an honour to be part of the team. Thank you so much.
Dean Russell, now depending on when you're listening to this, that debate and motion will have taken place. I'll do my best to update social media feeds so people get a heads up as to what's been going on there. If it gets the go ahead, you know, by law, compulsory that office spaces, that workplaces, that colleges have a mental health first aider on hand for people who might need it at any time. To put it on parity with a first aider who you might go to if you fall over, scratch your arm or something like that. Really good idea, and it's great to see Dean Russell so passionate about it. I think we'll be hearing some more from him on the programme. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday this week. Don't forget you can reach out to services in your local area through the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk. The number for Samaritans always there, 116 123. You can text shout as well to 85258 if you want to text and speak to someone via your phone. But the Hub of Hope is a great place to go. And don't forget, tell your friends you've been listening to the Mental Health Monday podcast. We'll be back next week.